God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our epistle reading from St. John's Revelation, beginning with chapter 22 with the first verse. Here in this revelation of St. John, God is giving his church under persecution a glimpse of what heaven is like, a glimpse of where we need to put our hope, our trust. Now, I will admit some people have taken great liberties with the revelation of St. John and have almost made it into a fearful book, fearful of what the end times might look like. But that was not its intent. Picking up today's theme, we're taking a look at the, quote, river of life. But before we get to those words, I need to start with the first set of words. Then the angel showed me. And the reason why we need to start with those words, not only does it begin the sentence that way, it also sets the theme. The theme is that of comfort, of revelation. An angel or a messenger showed St. John this special revelation. Just like every Sunday when we come and gather, another messenger of God brings about that word of God, your pastor. Because in one essence, the same is true. That word that is coming from being read and being proclaimed is a word of comfort. It is not a word designed to instill fear in you, but to show you where true life is. It is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are messengers and teachers supposed to teach? They are supposed to teach and communicate to the people about the rest of the story. Now we get to the phrase, the river of the water of life. Now, you might note that's kind of where my title for my message came from. But you might notice that the title of the message is inconsistent with what Scripture says. I will admit, I purposely did that. And one of the reasons behind this purpose is very often in our lives, we like to simplify things. We like to bring it down to something we can comprehend and understand. The river of life sounds better than the river of the water of life. Because why would God be redundant? How many rivers do you know that do not contain water? Most of the rivers I know do have water. So why is St. John now being given this vision, and why is it being called the river of the water of life? Well, we truly know that water does bring life. Without it, we would die. Fair enough, but embedded in here is a little bit more than that, because not all waters bring life. I don't know if you remember even from your own life. Did you ever have a fear of water?
Oh, no.
Did you ever have a fear of drowning? Because if so, then you would quickly realize that the same water that we need to drink could also be used as a way of bringing about death. Now we're on the right path. Because the same death is what we experience whenever we are baptized. We have water applied to us, and there's the death of our old sinful nature at hand, the old Adam within us. There is a death, and there is a new man, a new life that comes forth from the waters of holy baptism. Why a river of the water of life? St. John is teaching to his people where this comfort comes from. It comes from our baptism. And in that baptism, yes, there's a death, and yes, there's also a life. a life eternal. We may be reminded of Paul's own words in Romans chapter 6. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Picking up that concept of water being death, we only need to go back to the Old Testament prophet Jonah, when he talks about in chapter 2, the waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. Another interesting part about this baptism that brings death, that brings life, like the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. But, by the way, baptism is not something you do yourself. We do not self-baptize. Baptism is something that another person must do for you, physically and spiritually. It is the gift of God, and it must be administered by somebody else. Then there's also the connection of the water of life. Baptism truly is that water of life. Jesus also brings up similar words about testifying about himself in John chapter 4. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What type of water is this? It's named bright as crystal. Where does it come from? That's also named flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Who is seated on that throne of God? God the Father Almighty and the Lamb. Because the psalmist reminds us in Psalm chapter 47, verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. And the Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, that is John the Baptist, and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's just verse 1. Verse 2 describes where this river is flowing from the throne through the middle of the street. And why the street of the city? Why its middle? Well, how do you gain access to the city? And in one essence, the city was that of what the new heavens and the new earth would be like. How does one gain access to the new heavens? Yes, through the Lamb. Yes, through holy baptism. Right smack there in the middle. And what is this river of the water of life do? On either side of this river, it nourishes two trees, the tree of life. If you're getting an idea that the sermon is built on a lot of life, you're on the right point. And where does this tree of life come from? You cannot buy it at a nursery. You can't have it planted for you. We may remember it comes from the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. There were two trees, besides the rest that God made, two particular trees. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One would bring life eternal, and one would bring all the knowledge. You may remember that Satan was the one who tempted Adam and Eve to touch out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for which they were forbidden. And now another command soon after that. After that event took place in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And because he had that evil, he could not stand in the presence of God.
Uh-oh.
Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Therefore, God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man out and at the east end of the Garden of Eden placed a cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Why guard the way of the tree of life when now it's here freely? What's the difference? The difference is that of baptism. Because before Adam and Eve, or I should say after they sinned, they were driven out of the garden. They had to deal with that sin. The Lamb of God, who was going to take care of the sin of the world, had not yet come. God did not want them to take of the tree of life just yet. Not until the one who brings life comes, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so now we have access to that tree of life. Because if we're with St. John's visioning this, we're up in heaven, where the waters of our holy baptism have brought us. And please notice what this tree of life is doing. It is producing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. 12 could be used as a symbol to represent, yes, the tribes of Israel, but then all believers in Christ. Yielding its fruit each month, that's some type of tree. Usually fruit trees only yield once in a season. But now we're with Christ in heaven above, where the bounties of God constantly flow. And these leaves on the trees were designed to bring healing, as verse 2 concludes. Now, verse 4 also brings about a special thing to remind us again of our baptism. Because what does our baptism do? It brings us face to face with God. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. For most of us, that's exactly where God's name was placed upon us, as water was sprinkled upon our foreheads in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, St. John's revelation speaks well of baptism. It's embedded in the symbols. And why does God need to speak such way? Because the church is under heavy persecution. The Christian church was not even legal. You needed to have documents or messages going to its people in somewhat of a symbolic way. But it was mostly designed to bring hope, to bring life. Because sometimes while we're struggling in this world of ours, we may not see a lot of hope. We might take for granted what God has given to us. And so we would be leaving the waters that give us life. Yes, very often in our simple world, we like to simplify things. And when we simplify things, we might take out even that which we need because we've lost sight of its importance. Near the end of St. John's revelation, he is giving us that beautiful picture of heaven and showing us that, yes, the faith that has been given to us through holy baptism is the means by which we achieve God's gift of eternal life. So this day, like St. John's readers, we come and we gather. As a community of believers under persecution, in a community of believers that need strength, in a community of believers that are often very weary and heavy laden with the world around us, we come. And as the angel, the messenger of God, showed St. John this beautiful revelation to give him hope so that he too could be that messenger of God and bring that same hope to other people. This day, as that reading was being read and being proclaimed, God's hope continues to abound. That yes, there is an eternal life. Yes, there is a place that is truly beautiful without pain and suffering. But yet, while we're still this side of that place, we come and gather using God's promises and God's word to give us that hope, to maintain our strength, so that with St. John and with all of Christendom, we can see the river of the waters of life. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.